Praise the Lord.
Okay. Can we just take a song together? You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, Lord. You are worthy to be praised. You are Alpha. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised.
We give you
to bring worship to you. We count ourselves a privileged people for you to come to us. Hallelujah. And to indwell in us. And to care for us. Father, we thank you. We return all the praise and the glory to you this afternoon. We ask, O God, that as we meditate on your word, we ask, O God, that you will visit us in a definite and in a very clear way. We will know that this is the visitation of the Lord. Lord, this is what we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for the opportunity to share together. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a privilege to be in your midst and to share the word that the Lord, dropped in my heart. Now, as a matter of fact, the Lord gave me this word, which I shared in Bangui in Central African Republic about arising and shining. And when we came back and I heard of this, they reminded me, because I forgot, really, that you are supposed to be in Abuja. I said, okay. I said, there will be no problem because we can also continue to share the same word we shared in Bangui. But I tell you something. 2 days ago, the Lord said, no, I have something better for my people. I want to hear a loud amen. Hallelujah. And I started wrestling with a word in my spirit. It was a great wrestle, and after wrestling, we're able to bat it. Hallelujah. We're able to get the direction of what the Lord is saying to us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Before we come to it, I just want to say one or two things. The ministry that have come this morning, brethren, is a prophetic ministry. In the sense that we must know how to receive such ministries. Many times we are unable to appropriate a ministry because we don't know how to respond to it. Hallelujah. One way I have come to discover is that as the word is going on, I tell myself, that word is for you, Isaac. Are you hearing what I'm saying, brethren? I say, this word is for me. I don't even want to know whether it's for me or not. I say, it is for me. I receive the word. Hallelujah. By faith, I begin to appropriate that word and begin to act on it. Praise the Lord. As the ministry is going on, that is an attitude the Lord will want us to adopt. Praise God. And you just discover that it begins to work for you because it is according to your faith. He said, be it unto me according to your word. Glory to God. Amen. Another thing I have, when the ministry was going on, a word also dropped in my heart to say that the church, the body of Christ, is a divine project. Hallelujah. One day I was driving, and behind the car there was a sticker. It says that I am a divine project. Hallelujah. And because I'm a divine project, I can never be abandoned. There is a lot of abandoned projects in Nigeria. Politicians will take our money, they will. Abandon project. But you see, the church of Jesus Christ is a project that can never be abandoned. Hallelujah. Amen. And you are members of that body. So you cannot be abandoned. Hallelujah. Bro Richard, you are an engineer, a construction man. When a client pays you for a job, hallelujah. Amen. Come rain, come shine. Won't you do that job? Huh? Yes, rain. No, rain can stop you momentarily. But does it mean you will abandon the project? Hallelujah. Amen. Brethren, the rain of affliction and trial is intended to bring distraction. It's meant that, intended to stop the work. But I tell you, he says that the work can never be. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Amen. Hallelujah. The project has been paid for. Jesus paid for the project. Hallelujah. And he wants to insist that this project be concluded. Hallelujah. Amen. He paid with his blood. So the project must go on. The distractions of trouble, cares, and worries will not stop him from accomplishing what he wants to accomplish in his church. I thought I would hear a loud amen. Yes. Hallelujah. The devil brings all the afflictions and the trials, the tribulations. But I tell you something, brethren, this work will not stop. This project will never stop until God has what he has intended the church to be. And he says he wants a glorious bride. Hallelujah. He wants a glorious church without spot, without wrinkle. Amen. Hallelujah. So we give glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. The burden I have that the Lord dropped in my heart has to do with the issue of the salvation of our soul. Because God's intention is that the soul be saved. Hallelujah. He wants the church to realize that his interest in the matter, that his major concern is that the soul be saved. And that was why we read this morning from Revelation 21. He says, I'm going to dwell in them. I will be their God, and they shall be what? My people. God's ultimate plan is man is the dwelling place of God. And man must be the dwelling place of God. No matter what the devil wants to do, God desires that he dwells in his fullness in us. Hallelujah. Amen. So God's interest right now and God's major concern right now is that the soul be saved. You know, many Christians are not really realizing that. The devil brings a lot of distractions on our way so that we will not be able to focus on that which is God's concern. He brings a lot of cares, a lot of worries. But I tell you, the things that we bother about, the pressures of life that we go through, are only end here. The food and the clothes and the housing and the things we worry about, they all end here. Hallelujah. But there is something that God intends to be eternal. Your soul. God wants your soul to be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we must take care to look into the issues that have to do with the soul. The church must pay attention to it. Hallelujah. Every other thing will fade away. The soul must be something that we give ourselves to look, because it is out of it. He said that out of the heart are the issues of life. Out of it comes every other manifestations that we see around us. And God's interest is that we take time to care about the things, the happenings right within our soul. And those four areas of our soul, we must take time to look at them, investigate them. What is really going on there in our emotion, in our desire, in our mind, in our will? What is really going on there? The things that are going on, are they pleasing God? The things that I do, the things that motivate me to do the things that I do, do they really glorify God? That is where the church must come. And we must tell ourselves that that is the issue that has to do with the church. Today, the church, you know, when I mean the church, right there in the Pentecostal system, they have all, you know, drifted. Drifting and talking about things that are not really. Today, you know, we went to a church in Bangui. Could you believe that all the leaders of the church, no one came with a Bible? I'm telling you, all of them, no one came with a Bible. And you keep asking yourself, what are they teaching the people? From where are they getting what they are teaching? And the answer is that most of the things they are teaching them are motivational. How you can get to the top, how you can do this, how you can do that, how you can become rich. They avoid the real weightier matters of the kingdom of God, which has to do with the soul of man. And that is why in the Pentecostal church, they don't care how you get your money. If I don't talk too much, don't harass anybody, because if you do that, you are driving away their financial members. And the church must move away from this. So the issue of the soul is so much important to God. In fact, he says, what shall it profit a man if he does what? If he gains the whole world and loses his soul. So God, the issue of the soul is very, very paramount in his heart. That is God's number one item on the agenda. And the church must begin to look into it, begin to investigate it, begin to look into our own lives and see how this thing is applying. When the brother was ministering yesterday, I think he mentioned something like that.
And I feel, brethren, that is where we are. Because if we're able to sort out that, every other thing will take their level. I want to hear amen. Hallelujah. 3 John verse 2 says that, I wish and I desire above all things that you do what? That you prosper and be in health as your soul prospereth. Hallelujah. So if the soul prospers, certainly, my health will prosper. My business will prosper. If there is a prosperity of the soul, if the things that are emanating from here are pleasing to God, hallelujah, He is going to bless the works of my hand. He is going to bless my family. He's going to bless my marriage. You know why? Do you know why husbands and wives get into conflict? It's because there is something wrong with the soul. Hallelujah. There is something wrong with the emotion. There's something wrong with somebody's will, insisting that it must be done this way. Meanwhile, that will must be subjected and submitted to Christ. So God desires that the soul be an issue the church must address. I don't know how we're going to do it, but the scripture is very clear on what God demands. Hallelujah. So I'm trying to establish the fact that we must take care to look into the issues that have to do with our soul. Secondly, the soul. The only way the soul can survive, the soul must be fed. The soul must be nourished. And I dare say, brethren, why many times we discover that there is stunted growth and people are not growing, both in the things of God and in ministry, is because the soul is not being nourished. The soul is not being fed. You know, the church had gotten tired. We keep on recycling the same old words. But I tell you that He keeps speaking. The Lord keeps speaking. We cannot afford what I preach in Bangui to come and preach it here. We cannot do that. There is something new, something fresh that is coming forth from the throne of God to His people. And the only way to obtain it is that you give yourself to nourishing the soul. Hallelujah. And thirdly, the soul must know. I must know that the soul is precious to God. Hallelujah. Amen. The soul is precious. There's a scripture I was meditating on recently. It says that if your right hand will make you to go to hell, that what do you do to it? Just cut it off. Hallelujah. That it is better that you go maimed into the kingdom of God than to go there, go to hell with your body complete. And I began to wonder that there is something about the soul so precious to God. And He wants, if what I'm doing with my hand is going to affect the business of God in my soul, He says, you better cut it off. Hallelujah. He says that if my leg is doing something that does not please God, or is going to the places that does not please God, you better cut it off. Hallelujah. Brethren, there are many businesses. You know why there is a lot of weakness in the church? It's because the church, when I mean the church, I'm talking about us as individuals. Because we're talking about the city of God. The city of God is not this building. It's the city of God is not in your house fellowship. The city of God is me. Hallelujah. And this is where He desires to come. This is where He desires to dwell. This is the new Jerusalem He desires to come and inhabit. Hallelujah. And this city must be prepared for the coming of the Master. Now, if He comes in the condition that I am, I'm going to be destroyed. Hallelujah. Amen. So if what I'm doing, if my business is not allowing me to please God, God is saying, you better cut it off. You better deal with it. Hallelujah. That it is better. It is better for you. Ministries are weak because that area, the things that we are touching with our hands are filthy. And God is saying that we have to got to watch it. We have got to look at it. Why do I need to do that? So that the soul can prosper. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God is saying that we need to pay much attention. You know, sometimes when you go for prayer meeting, you know, all that we pray about is this need. Listen, they are very, very good. They are also important because God cares. He cares about the things we go through. Hallelujah. And like we read from Psalms this morning, you know something? He loves the beautiful gate. What we read? There's that more than the dwelling places of Jacob. He loves Zion. The Zion is here. He loves Zion. Hallelujah. More than all the things that worry us and the things we run after. God wants and he loves Zion. So we must take time to make sure that we appear in Zion. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm sorry. I may not really share things that excite you this afternoon. But you pardon me. I just have four scriptures. And after that, I'm done. Praise God. Let's quickly turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I'll read from verse 35. Say, cast not away therefore your confidence, which had great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You know, this morning the Lord was speaking on that. And I want to assure you, and I want to stand in the place of confirming this word. When Brother Alade read it from Revelation 21, he says, it is done. Glory to God. The things that are worrying every one of us that have come here, the Lord says, it is done. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. All the worries, all the anxieties, all the troubles, he says, it is done. He says he has taken care of them. Hallelujah. You are not shouting because you don't see me as a prophet, right? Praise God. Hallelujah. He says it is done. Hallelujah. Amen. He says he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he says it is done. He says, therefore, he said, for you have need of patience. You need to wait. The things he has spoken, he is going to do them. In fact, he has done them already. You need patience. Don't leave this conference still carrying your worries. Hallelujah. Drop them here. The Lord has taken care of them. Amen. That after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Glory to God. He that will come will come. The Lord will come to his people. He will come to meet the needs. He will come to address the problem and the challenges that we are all facing. He will come. He will certainly come. Hallelujah. He will not fail. He will not come too late. He will come right early. Hallelujah. So be assured of that this afternoon, that the Lord will come. Maybe you feel sick. And you're still feeling sick after you have been ministered to. I said to you, he that will come will come. And I believe God that by the end, the few minutes I will stay here, by the time we finish, just check your body. I believe the Lord would have healed you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But look at verse 38. He said, now the just shall live by faith. The things of God are appropriated by faith. It is not in the physical. It is by faith. Hallelujah. And he says that without faith, that it is what? Impossible to receive from God. And that's why I say one way you can receive the prophetic ministration that comes is by just opening your heart and say, Lord, it is for me. By faith, you receive it. Hallelujah. Say, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. You know, I was pondering over that. Hallelujah. If any man draws back, he says that his soul shall have no pleasure in him. In other words, when we do not walk by faith and appropriate faith, God is not interested. God wants his people to walk by faith in every area of our lives. Hallelujah. You may be telling the devil, mama, saying to you, well, you have tried all this while. How can I appropriate faith? He says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. On this word, and no change will come. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 39, that is where I'm going to say, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but them that believe to the saving of the soul. So the soul, the final salvation of the soul, salvation, is to be saved. You know, there are many, they go to church, but they're there. They go to church, but they know that they have no being in church. And if you are there in the difference, I want to encourage to make with the living God. Hallelujah. He said, but we not of them that draw you back in this hour. And I was saying that the church, even away from the mental core of salvation to the soul, is getting involved in that things. In fact, that in the church was too much carried away you know, food. Sat of food, tables. They have to call themselves order. And say, listen, this is not our business. Hallelujah. This is not what God has called us on. What he has called us on is the ministry of God and on prayer. They had to talk to themselves. But today, go to church. Go to call and it's in that Pentecostal church. What do you do? To your night. You get clowns, comedians come into the church. To tell us rubbish. Make us laugh. That's what the church is for. The church, hallelujah, get back to the doctrine of the teaching of God and of prayer. It is not given to, he says, my heart, hallelujah, is not for some robbers. Hallelujah. It's not for money changes. It's not for business. My house is for prayer. Hallelujah. The church must begin to talk. And when we to any and outside the issue of the ministry of the word and of prayer, you have to check it. Especially our being carried away. Being carried away by all forms of things. Hallelujah. Amen. Go back to the ministry of the word and of prayer. That is the only way we can get the soul saved. If not, everything is that we are drawing back. The church must be moving forward. The church must be getting deeper into things of the spirit. Church increasing in the God. Church is not meant for these certain things that we. Hallelujah. You know, in our fellowship, I said, why are we working in excitement about the God? Hallelujah. It's in a conference like this, in the word comes, some of us will jump. Just get the house fellowship. You can preach from now to tomorrow. And nobody's excited. But I knew that before now, when God is when we, this ministry. Hallelujah. Every word is a revelation. Jumping on your feet. Something is inside. I remember, brother, put that again, you know. Hallelujah. When he brings attention, we are all excited. We are excited about the word of God. And that tells you that something is going wrong in the church. You call for night vigil, people will attend. You call, very few people will fast. Something is wrong. The church must begin to go back. We must add the issues that have happened to our souls. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And one thing also is that when the same people, if they say somewhere that there is deliverance and you fast for 40 days, they are going to it. But when it comes, we just take the things of God in our own little fellowship. We take it carelessly. God is calling for an awakening. He says that we are not of them that draw back unto perdition. We have come too far, brethren. We cannot afford to go back. We must be pressing on forward.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. I read from verse 3-9. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though not for a season, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and glory and honor at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So the little pressures we go through, they are all the trials of our faith. And what that intends to do is to stop and to distract the workings of God right within our soul. I'll give you an example. If you are sick, maybe you have malaria for 1 week, you discover it's difficult for you to read the Bible. Is it not so? Am I correct? It's even difficult for you to pray. You will need the help of brethren to come to you and to minister to you. For that number of days, you are an absentee from the ministry of the word. It's a distraction. Hallelujah. He just wants us to focus on the sickness and forget the business of it. But you see, there was one brother I know of somewhere overseas. This brother was paralyzed for a long time. In fact, until he died. He was paralyzed. And he was always on the bed. That is, when I mean paralyzed, I mean bedridden. He was on the bed. But in the midst of that, they will wheel him. Or they will bring him. I think the fellowship was holding in his house. And he will be there. From the bed, he will be ministering. Hallelujah. He never allowed the physical limitations to hinder what God has called him to do and what God is his soul. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to break through. Hallelujah. We need to break through these limitations so that we can lay hold on the essence, which is the salvation of our soul. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to break through the limitations of hunger and of lack. We need to break through it. God allows them to come so that even in the midst of it, he will have a people that are overcoming. So God bringing trials and temptations to us, it is not a minus. That is what the devil wants us to feel. And that is what he wants us to emphasize on. But I can tell you that God allowing them to come is for a purpose. Because he says that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul had to say, I rejoice in infirmity. Hallelujah. Don't feel that yours is the worst case. It is not. God is working out something beautiful and something excellent. Something glorious in the midst of that circumstance. Hallelujah. That is what God is working out, said God. He says, I have my purpose, I have my intention for you. And he says that not everyone can bear it. But I have brought it to you because I know you can overcome it. Hallelujah. So rejoice. Rejoice, oh greatly, oh daughter of Zion. Hallelujah. For your king is coming to you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's see, move on. Hallelujah. Verse 8. Whom having not seen you love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy and full of glory. Hallelujah. Receiving the end of your faith,
even the salvation of your soul. That is the end of our faith. The salvation of our, that is the final bus stop. That is God's concern. That is God's interest, church. That is what we must know. That God's own end in this whole business is to bring the soul to a place of salvation. Every other thing that is happening is just peripheral. They are quite distractive. God's whole business in this is to bring us to the place where the soul is saved. But you see, the problem is that the church is lacking in this understanding. The church is not insisting on walking in this. The church is not seeing this. And somehow we lay great emphasis on our needs and our cares. Hallelujah. And you wonder, doesn't God see them? God sees them. He knows that I have need for food. He knows I have need for accommodation. He knows I have food, need to send my children to school. He knows them all. Hallelujah. And I can assure you, certainly he will provide. Hallelujah. He says that he knows the number of hair on my head. He knows when even one falls down. He knows it. He understands it. So it's not as if he's insensitive to my need. He is aware. And I can tell you, since I'm a divine project in his hand, he will make sure, he will make sure, he will make sure he provides. He will make sure he makes a way for me. Hallelujah. He makes a way. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, while in Lagos, I'll give you a little testimony. It was time to pay our children's school fees. And they were going to one school in Apapa. Quite expensive. Hallelujah. And the time for school fees reached and there was no money coming anywhere. Brother Alade will know. I mean, Brother William, they will know. No money coming anywhere. We just prayed and trusted God. Hallelujah. And left it there. Glory to God. Before then, I have done work for British Council. I did some work for them for women societies and all that. And that was one of, and the person that took which I did that job was not around. So it was time for school fees. Do you know what happened? I needed to do one job. Hallelujah. Amen. The person that has my phone number was in UK. They had to call her in UK. Say, please, we need this man to come and do this. Now, I ask you, am I the only printer in this whole world? Couldn't she have looked somewhere and called any printer to do that? Why must it be me? Hallelujah. Amen. God will provide for all our needs, brethren. Let's not be disturbed by this distraction of the enemy. He brings a lot of pressure. It must be done now. Who says it must be done now? Hallelujah. It must be done at God's own time. Hallelujah. Amen. So they called this my sister, my friend, and she gave the phone number. They called me, and I quoted for the job, and I did it. Let me tell you the miracle. After doing that job, it was exactly the children's school fees. There was no money for chewing gum. Hallelujah. Exactly the amount. Pam. And you pay, and you just go home, and you sleep well. Hallelujah. I mean, if you have children in school, you will understand what I mean. Hallelujah. So God meets the need at the very... He will come right early. Don't bother yourself. Hallelujah. After you have done what God wants you to do, just relax and believe God for the promise to come to pass. Hallelujah. But you see, what I'm trying to say is that the devil brings these things to distract us. The major thing is that God might bring us to the place where our souls are saved. That is God's concern. That is the church. That is the understanding the church must have. Hallelujah. We must stop, as a people, stop chasing shadows. Concentrate on the thing that is the issue at this time. How is your desires performing? You know, Christians were, end timers, you know. Sons of God, we are really getting really, really like the people of the world. You see any new car that is passing, you want to have it. Hallelujah. I must get it. I must. Meanwhile, you know that you don't even have the wherewithal. Hallelujah. You keep claiming other people's cars that are passing by. Stop doing that. Amen. Hallelujah. We must come to the place where we concentrate on the things that are essential in this hour. And that is the things that have to do with our soul. Now, I'm not saying that it's bad to desire a good life. Do you understand? But I'm saying that there are weightier matters. There are things that God is putting his finger upon. There are things that God wants the church to concentrate. Look at all the number of the issues that have to do with marriages. You just discover that we are not really dying to self. We are not dealing with the issues of our soul. We insist things must be done our own way in our homes. And by the time you know it, there is conflict, there is problem, there is tension in the home. Nobody wants to say, yes, let me take responsibility for this. I am the person that is as wrong. My wife, I'm sorry. Nobody says sorry. And I have come to discover that sorry comes from a broken heart, from a broken spirit, from a contrite heart, from the one who is broken. Hallelujah. Amen. So we must go back as a people and begin to deal with these issues. Let's go again to Matthew 25. That's a familiar scripture about the 10 virgins. Hallelujah. I'm now on the third scripture. Hallelujah. Which means we shall soon round it up. He said, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. Hallelujah. I know that many of us have heard a lot about this. But you know, as I began to look at what God was saying, this scripture came back. Came back with much power and with much power, authority and vehemence. That the church must look at this matter about the 10 virgins. Hallelujah. He says, and five of them were wise. There are five wise ministries that are going on. There are also five foolish ministries that are also going on. And the five foolish virgins or five foolish ministries are the kind of ministries that are in the church today telling the church what it wants to hear. That is the kind of church, and many are running after it. Five foolish ministries that are there. They only teach motivational things. They are not in the presence of God. They are not watching out for God's timing. They don't even know what God is saying at this hour, what God is putting his finger on. They don't know about it. But there is a five wise ministry that is bringing the mind of Christ, that is bringing life to the people of God, that is telling the church it is time for us to move. It is time for us to depart from iniquity. Hallelujah. He said, they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. I was really worried about this. I said, how could you leave? You don't even know when the person you have gone to see is coming. And you are not prepared. You are not prepared. You just took your lamp. I'm sure they didn't even gauge the level of oil that is in their lamps. And I can tell you, by the time I was looking at, I said the only oil that was left here was the one that was in the wick. And immediately it burnt out. In fact, when it started going down, they said, our oil is finishing. And they started panicking. Hallelujah. But I want to tell us that there is a lot of pressure that will come. A lot of pressure that will come. And its intent is that the oil that is even in the lamp will come under much pressure. The little oil that is in your spirit will come under much pressure. The spirit will come on, and you know, brethren, when that begins to happen, you discover that the love of many begins to go cold. People begin to settle for mundane things. There is no seeking after God. There's a lot of drawing back when that begins to happen. They may be coming to church. They may be sharing in the things that God is saying, but yet their heart is not there. The lamp was going down. Hallelujah. And when they come, they share the same kind of thing. They recycle messages. and come, you know, and we take it. But God is saying that there is a ministry that is better than that. Hallelujah. He said, why the bridegroom tarried? Sorry. He said, but the wives took oil in their vessels with their lamps. So there was oil in their lamps for the wives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, when he talks about lamp, lamp speaks about you. He said that the spirit of man is what? Hallelujah. Is the candle of the Lord. Hallelujah. So there is oil in their spirit. For the wise virgins, but also there was oil in their vessels. They had oil in their soul. The vessel speaks about their soul. In other words, they were prepared for the time of the midnight. They didn't know when he was coming. Unfortunately, they didn't know when he was coming. But they were prepared. They had enough oil in their soul. No matter the pressures that came, they were able to withstand it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. The church must wake up. A lot of sleeping. We are not alive in the manner that God would want us to be alive. We are not responding to the things and to the dynamics of the Spirit. God is expecting the church to do much more than where we are. We cannot settle for the mundane. Hallelujah. The ministries must be active, must be alive, must be sensitive to what God is saying in this hour. Hallelujah. And that was why I was glad when ministries were being prayed for and being loosened, so that there will be a rising up. So that ministries will, every man will begin to stand in his place. Hallelujah. He said, at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamp. Hallelujah. You know, the time of trimming is now. God is trimming his lamps. I don't know whether you are aware of that. Hallelujah. The trimming does two things, two responses, two results. The trimming will either make the lamp to burn brighter, or it will totally put off the lamp. Hallelujah. You know, the husbandman comes and he prunes. His intention is that the tree might do what? Bring forth much fruit. But lo and behold, there are certain trees you will trim. They are going to die. So the trimming that God is bringing in this time is meant to quicken us to burn brighter. And if we have been on the edge, between and betwixt, we are in undecided, the trimming will settle us where we'll be. And I pray, hallelujah, that we'll be on the side of God. I want to hear amen. The trimming is the trials we're all going through right now. The trimming is going on right now. God trims some people and some of us are murmuring. God is trimming you, but you are murmuring, you are complaining. God, why must it be me? God is trimming you. Intention is not to kill you. His intention is so that you burn. His intention is so that you bring forth much fruit. That is his intention. He is not meant to destroy you. God never sets out to destroy anyone. But we can destroy ourselves and remove ourselves from the plan of God. And I pray that this meeting will bring us all towards the direction of God, towards the things that God is saying and doing in our own time. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll just go down to verse 9. Okay, verse 8 says, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are going out, or are gone out. Their lamps went out. There was a time of trimming. So their own light, their lamp went out. Hallelujah. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. You know, in this critical moment, no one can give you his oil. In this critical moment, you know, you must go and buy oil for yourself. And I ask myself, how do I buy oil for myself? I must submit myself to the dealings of God. The more I do that, the more I get more oil. The more I get more strength to burn brighter. The more I receive more energy. The more I receive more grace in God. But if I begin to keep myself, you know, the children of Israel, part of their problem was that many of them in the wilderness began to murmur and to complain. And as many as did that, excluded themselves. In fact, they perished. Hallelujah. But as many as yielded themselves to the purposes of God, hallelujah, they were able to make it into the land of promise. I'm encouraging us, brethren, that it is time for us to yield ourselves to God's dealing. I don't know the time you are going through. I don't know the pains you are going through. But God is expecting something from you. He's expecting praise to rise. He's expecting a heart of thanksgiving. He's expecting the people to begin to jubilate. Say, God, thank you for counting me worthy to partake in this. Hallelujah. You know, when they persecuted the Christians and the apostles, they came back and they began rejoicing. They said, God, thank you for counting us worthy to be partakers of suffering. The church, hallelujah, amen. Rejoicing and say, God, thank you for my experience. And you know what it does? It begins to open up doors of blessing and of God's visitation upon you. Hallelujah. God is looking for a church that is not murmuring while his streaming is going on. He's expecting the church to begin to respond. Hallelujah. I say this because I know I've been through a lot of tribulation. I'm not talking theory. I know it. And oftentimes it's so to open your mouth to God. But I tell you, a miracle is opening your mouth to say, thank you, situation. Thank you for taking me through it. That is God, that is streaming. God, thank you for through it. And as you begin, he begins to fight battles for you. He begins to fight for your need. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 9 says that they sow the more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. They said not so. They cannot, this oil is not transferable. Hallelujah. My experience, I cannot give it to my wife. My wife must go get it for herself. Amen. I take the last scripture before I sit down. 1 Kings. And that is a word of encouragement for us. That no matter the level of the oil, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. First Kings 17. If we can just go for the least, God will do the increase. Hallelujah. You remember the Zarephath woman? The prophet came to her and said to her, you know, you must give me to eat. And the woman answered, verse 12. He said, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, now this was happening in a time of famine, in a time of dire need, in a time of adversity. That was what was happening. And I liken it to the time we are also going through. It's a time of hardship. It's a time of adversity. It's a time of tsunami. It's a time of every manner of, the happenings around the world. But God is saying something to the church. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me. And after make for thee and for thy son. You know, in a situation like this, God expects an offering from you and from me. Hallelujah. Amen. In times of crisis like this, in times of adversity, God is expecting an offering from us. Not offering of money. It's offering of our lives. Paul said, I therefore urge you and beseech you that you present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, that it is your reasonable service. God is expecting an offering from us. In times like this, in times when you don't have, that is when God wants you to also give. It's a time of sacrifice. Hallelujah. So he told him, he said, go and do that for me first. Look at what he said thereafter. And I'll end up with that. He said, for thus said the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meat shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Hallelujah. And she went and did. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, the cake and the oil are meant to sustain her in this time of crisis. If we don't have enough oil in our vessels, if we don't have, no matter how little it is in our cruise, I can assure you that it will be able to sustain us to go through the time of tribulation. Amen. So the encouragement is for us to go for the oil. I encourage you, go for the oil. Go for the experiences that will bring about increase in God in your life. Go for it. And as we do that, brethren, God begins to release. Hallelujah. All that is pertaining to us. Hallelujah. 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 The scripture that is coming to my heart says that he will perfect all things that concerns me. God will perfect it. Don't you worry. Don't allow the enemy to walk you up. Just know where you are going. He said, listen, I'm going for more oil. I don't want anything to distract me. Hallelujah. The cares and the worries will come. I know that God will take care of them. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your church. We thank you because this is the hour, hallelujah, for us to go for more oil in our soul. We ask, oh God, that you will bring an understanding and enlightenment and the ability to go for that which you are saying in this hour to your people. Cause us to take away, to look away from all the distractions, oh God, that we might focus our attention, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank you, Lord. We give you the praise and the glory. Perfect that which concerns your people. Let every need that is here, let every care and every